I'll leave that one there.
That's fine. Just leave it there as backup, but I really could use my Bible, but that's fine.
Yeah.
It's all good. I know the answers. I know my questions.
I got to sit down and read these things. I don't know how to read them ahead of time.
Hey, right here, I also took a little bit of a mistake, just a little bit, but it's not a big deal. Under the epistle lesson, when you're done reading Acts, at the end it has me saying this. This is the word of God. You're the one that's reading.
Yeah.
And you say that.
Okay.
Sorry, guys.
That was a bit higher than that. Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church in Racine. For those of you who don't know for sure, I'm not Pastor Jakes. I'm about a half a head, maybe a little more taller. I'd like you to take a look at the announcements up on the walls being projected up there, also some in your bulletins. There is a lot of stuff left over in the basement. Also, if you'll notice on the back table, there are a bunch of packages with cookies and different goodies. My understanding, they're a free will donation. If you see a bag you want, put a donation in the basket that's there. There'll be coffee, that's already done. And if you like, buy one, open it up, and leave it on the table and just start eating and let everybody eat it. That's if you want. Can't think of any. Did anybody else have any other announcements they'd like to make? Go ahead.
For those of you who can't hear me, okay, I would like to announce that the cookie stuff, the sales from that we make on that goes for the playground equipment at Lake Lucerne. So that's for that. Also, as we said earlier, we had a good sale yesterday, but we had a lot of stuff to sell in the first place. So we've got a lot left, so we need help in packing it up. We've set it 2:00 on Thursday. If there's anybody in the church that can come help us at 2:00 on Thursday to pack up what's left over, we would appreciate it. And I really want to thank everybody who helped with this thing. Scott and his crew, oh my gosh, we couldn't have survived Wednesday night without them. And Ed and Melanie and Lenore I'm going to miss somebody, but I really do appreciate it. And I know the women's group does too. Any other?
Anyone else? Our guest preacher today is a certified lay speaker with the conference, and he's been here before. This is his third time. His name is Ken Miller. I've known him for a long time. He's a really neat guy, very rounded in the Lord. So he'll be coming up here in just a little bit. What I'd like to do is have everybody turn to each other and pass the peace of Christ. Would you all please stand for the call to worship? If you're able. In the name of the one who was, who is, and who shall ever be, I welcome you.
Praise be with you, to the world, the people of all generations.
In the name of the one who lived, died, and rose again, I embrace you. Peace be with you. Peace to the world from Easter people, the body of Christ, a new generation. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn, Victory in Jesus.
Thank you.
may be seated. Please join me in the invocation. Laugh and pity us, O God. Pity us for pitting our powers against yours, even as the priests, Pilate, and the rulers pitted their powers against your beloved Son. Pity us for pitting our power desires over yours, even as the crowds and the first disciples put their desires above our Lord Jesus. Yes, pity us as we stand, even though forgiven, before our resurrected Savior and Lord, the risen Christ. Amen. If we have children, come on forward, please.
No children this morning, huh? Don't worry, I'm not going to bite right away. My name is Ken Miller, guys, and even though that there's no actual children to sit and talk to you this morning, I do want to share just a couple of things I wanted to share with the children today and let you know how awesome it is. Today, as of course, is the first Sunday after Easter, and there's many people, we call this, many people may know this as Bright Sunday. And that is why I am wearing my most brightest tie that I have in my collection. And I got this from walking on an Emmaus walk. And maybe you guys know about the Emmaus community. It used to be here back in Racine. Oh, boy, I don't want to go. Well, back in Racine, in 1999, I attended an Emmaus walk here in Racine. And so it used to be here, but now it's up in Fox Valley in Green Bay. So the Emmaus walk is involved with a lot of colors, and that's where I got this tie from, and it's exciting and interesting, and it's just fun to wear on Bright Sunday. But today is also known as Humor Sunday as well. Have you guys heard of this before, Holy Humor? It's also known as Holy Humor. Typically, churches that have like clown ministry, for example, they'll bring up clowns and then do a little skit for the kids and for the congregation. So today is interesting. It's Bright Sunday and Holy Humor all at the same time. And the reason is because we're all excited and we're all happy now that Jesus is alive and he's risen. Because the week before that, it was all dark and gloomy and sad. We had Good Friday, how dark that was and how sad and terrible it was to see Jesus die on the cross and go through that, reviewing that. Now it's all joy and happiness because he's alive again and we get to live a new, refreshed life. So I just wanted to share that with you, that Jesus is alive. One more fun thing I wanted to share with the kids was, did you guys know that donkeys, of all things donkeys, are the only animals that have a cross on their back? I didn't go, well, this is cool to find this out. If you go online later when you get home, go look up pictures of donkeys and you'll see that they have a mane of hair running straight down the middle of their back, and then they have a mane of hair going across their shoulders. And it's a perfect cross. And I never knew this before. Somebody showed this to me. I saw it somewhere online. Some kind of message came across. And I thought, how cool is that? And you think about it. What did Jesus do when he arrived on Palm Sunday? He rode in on a donkey, right, into Jerusalem for the beginning of Palm Sunday, of Holy Week. And, of course, he's on a donkey. And what is he doing? He's riding on a cross. And then, sadly, a week later, on Good Friday, he is leaving Jerusalem, literally, when he died and was raised up and died on Easter, on Good Friday. So he left on a cross as well. And even think about it, even at Christmas time, when Mary is riding a donkey into the manger. He's actually, you know, he's obviously, Jesus is not born yet, but he's like within a day or two of being born, and he's riding on a cross going into the manger. So I thought that was interesting how the of all the animals that Jesus could have chosen, it was a donkey, and it has that one specific trait of being cross on its back. I just found that very interesting, and I thought I'd share that with the kids today. So then later on, I'm going to be talking about my sermon, which is about greatest gifts, and I'll be talking about all that. So I just wanted to just say that
It's such a joy to be here today with you folks, and I'm going to turn it over to Augie here, and we're going to continue on. I mean, we'll turn it on now to the praise team, I believe, is next. And I think the young lady over there is going to take care of that for me. So nice to be with you folks today.
Ooh, he called me a young lady. It's a good day.
Try to cheer up.
For some that don't understand our purpose and may not understand our praise, we, as the family in Jesus' name, would like to tell you the reason we sing.
Someone asked a question, why do we sing? When we lift our hands to Jesus, what do we really mean? Someone may be wondering, when we sing our song, and at times we may be crying, but nothing's really wrong. We sing because I'm happy, I sing because I'm free. His eyes are on the sparrow, that's the reason why I sing. Glory, hallelujah, I sing my praises to ya. Glory, hallelujah, you're the reason why I sing. And when the song is over, and we've all said amen, and your heart just keeps on singing, and the song will never end. And if somebody asked you, was it just a show? Lift your hands and be a witness, and tell the whole world no. I sing because I'm happy, I sing because I'm free. His eyes are on the sparrow, that's the reason why I sing. Glory, hallelujah, I sing my praises to ya. Glory, hallelujah, that's the reason why I sing. And when we cross that river to study war no more, no more, we will sing our song to Jesus, 'cause he's the one that we adore. I sing because I'm happy, I sing because I'm free. His eyes are on the sparrow, that's the reason why I sing. Glory, hallelujah, I sing my praises to ya. Glory, hallelujah, you're the reason why I sing. Glory, hallelujah, I sing my praises to ya. Glory, hallelujah, you're the reason why I sing. You're the reason why I sing. You're the reason why I sing.
This morning's scripture comes from Acts 5, 27 through 32. I'm a little shorter. 32. They brought the apostles to the Sanhedrin. The high priest questioned them. "We gave you clear orders not to teach in Jesus' name," he said, "but you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. You want to make us guilty of this man's death." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God instead of people. You had Jesus killed by nailing him to a cross, but the God of our people raised Jesus from the dead. Now Jesus is the Prince and Savior. God has proved this by giving Jesus a place of honor with him. He did it to turn Israel away from their sins and forgive them. We are telling people about these things, and so is the Holy Spirit. God has given the Spirit to those who obey him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Thank you.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John. And I'm going to be reading from verses 19 to 31. And if you have your pew Bibles in front of you and you'd like to join me, please join. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And they said, "Jesus said to them, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you.'" And when he had said this, he breathed on them, which, by the way, is often thought of as a mini Pentecost. He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. They are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." And a week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said, "See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, saying, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The word of God for the people of God. Oh, please join me now as we sing hymn 347, if you will.
Where is this?
be seated. That is really a beautiful and a powerful hymn. I always love to set my mood with you as the congregation with that hymn prior to any kind of lesson that I want to preach for the day. It is a joy. It's one of my favorite, and I get like goosebumps when I sing that song. It's really, really a joy. First of all, I want to say thank you, folks, for inviting me. I know Pastor Jakes called me about a month ago and said, Ken, I could use your help. He says, I'm leaving to go on a mission trip back to Africa again. And I go, wow, how exciting is that? And I understand he took his wife with him this time. And they're having a good time as far as I know. I think Augie told me, he said that last he heard that Pastor has made it safely there. Is that correct? Has anybody heard? I think so. So we're going to be praying for him later and him and the mission team. So it's just a joy to know Pastor Jakes and that he invited me. And I consider it an honor and an invitation that I have a chance to share my witness with you folks. This is my third time you guys got to put up with me. How about that? So it's really a joy to be here. And so I just lift that up in that way. So, as you know, we're in the time of the season called Eastertide. Eastertide is the time between Easter, of course, and the 50 days, which is Pentecost. And that's a 50-day window of opportunity. And in that 50 days, Jesus is with the apostles and the hundreds that he sees as a resurrected Jesus for the first 40 days out of that 50. And then on the 40th day, he ascends into heaven to be with God, his Father. But then between the 40th day and the 50th day is a 10-day window. And in that 10-day window, the apostles are waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And then the Holy Spirit does arrive on Pentecost, and that's a story that is told later on in the book of Acts. So we're in the season of Eastertide at this time, and I am going to be speaking about the greatest gift. And I'm going to approach this sermon today in three ways. One is from the greatest gift from God, and the other way is the greatest gift from Jesus, and then the greatest gift that you and I as people, we can give. So I am really excited about doing this. It's one of my favorites. I love to talk about this. Now, as we know, God, of course, his beautiful gift for us has been his creation. He made everything, of course. But beyond that, I believe his beautiful, most beautiful and precious gift that he ever gave us was his beloved son, Jesus. That's his greatest gift to us, Jesus. And quite frankly, Jesus actually was God, just present to us physically in our lives, and he lasted here for approximately 33 years, according to the Bible. So at least we had a chance to see a little bit of God for about 33 years. Now, we weren't there, of course. That just happened, obviously, 2,000 years ago, so it was the time for them. Now, from God we get Jesus as his greatest gift. But now, what do we get from Jesus as his greatest gift to us? As we all know, that Jesus displayed his unconditional love for all of us when he was willing and he gave up his life upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. This happened approximately 3:00 in the afternoon on Good Friday. The day he gave up his life for us. To me, this is his greatest gift he could give you and me and all of us believers. For we now have. He did this to allow us sinners, and we were all sinners, and we are all sinners, to make reconciliation with God possible. And now we can establish a new relationship with God, because his resurrection allows us to do that. And when we establish our new relationship with God, we become saved. And when we're saved, what are the ways that we can be saved? When we're baptized with water and with the Holy Spirit. That's how we get to be saved. So we discover this, and we call it our beautiful gift of salvation. And it's the great promise of heaven that Jesus gives us, where we can all live in eternity with God when we pass. How wonderful and how comforting this must be for those of us who are believers to know that when we die, that we can live for all eternity in heaven with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. To me, that gives me a really warm, I call it a warm and fuzzy feeling inside, truly peace that surpasses all understanding. I'd like to share something with you that concerning Jesus and the resurrection on Easter. Something I learned in my disciples class training is the difference between resurrection and the difference between resuscitation. For example, everybody knows the story of Lazarus and how Jesus went and raised Lazarus from the dead after 4 days of being in the cave there with Mary and Martha and all that. And yes, Jesus did this, and he raised Lazarus. And there's other stories of people coming to life also in the Bible. But if you notice that the people that came to life, like Lazarus and the others, were simply brought back to life again as they were. They didn't change. They were simply Lazarus again, just walking out of the cave and alive. Later on, it turns out that he will die again at another time. But what's the difference between a person who is resurrected and Jesus who is what's the difference between a person who is resuscitated and Jesus who's resurrected? Jesus, when he was resurrected, he was changed. He was not the same Jesus that died and was put in the tomb. So much so that when the very first person who saw him was Mary, and Mary couldn't even recognize him, and he was standing next to her. He had to literally tell her that he was Jesus. And then she says, oh, teacher, and all that. And it was just wonderful for him to discover. So he is transformed. He's now transformed into a new Jesus for all of us to enjoy, which represents the new lesson, the new messages that he wants all of us to learn and to live our lives by. So Jesus is a changed person. And besides that, his body was never found. Whereas people who are resuscitated are just simply brought back to life again. And there are many stories of people who have died and like come back after a few minutes or even a few, you know, maybe an hour or so, I don't know. But there's several stories like that. But Jesus is different because he is transformed. He's not the same as when he died. And I thought that was a really interesting description there. And I learned that in my disciple class, and I thought, wow, how cool is that to learn that? And I thought that was very interesting. I want to share a quote now by a very famous devotional writer. His name is Trevor Hudson. And he says that when we recognize his presence, meaning Jesus and God, and we respond to him in our lives, we know that the resurrection happens in the midst of our lives. This is what it means to live today as Easter people, filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought, well, that is really cool, Trevor, that when we recognize his presence and we respond to that presence, the resurrection is happening in our lives. And that's what it means to live as Easter people, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I want to lift up, while we just learned what we just received the greatest gift from Jesus was, and we already know what God gave us was Jesus, and Jesus gave us his dying life for us, his salvation for us. But now, what about ourselves? What can we do for our greatest gift? And for me, it was just real easy to understand. I was very blessed to have a mother and father who was raised Christian, and their Christianity, their love for Jesus, spread to me as a baby, and they took me to be baptized in a Christian church. And now I am a Christian because of their belief in Jesus. So they passed on Christianity to me as a baby. And that's something that as we, those of us who are parents, that is something that we can bring our children to Jesus in the baptism when they're little infants, if necessary. Or even as we grow into being adults, there's never a bad time to come to Jesus, no matter what your age is. And you can be baptized to be blessed to be in Jesus' presence. And another thing that we do is not only do we bring children to the baptism, but then as parents we follow that up by taking them to Sunday school and helping them learn, and then from Sunday school they become old enough to go to confirmation. And then at confirmation, they then, the children, maybe in their teens now, 16 or so. They now make a decision. Do they want Jesus in their life? And they make that decision. And that's why confirmation is so exciting and so much fun to listen to the kids when they get up here to talk about Jesus in their life at that day. Now, if I was just talking about parents and what we can do with children, but let's say you don't have children, then the other thing that we can do, what is another greatest gift that we can do, is what Jesus taught us when he was at Maundy Thursday service. You remember last during Holy Week. Maundy Thursday, of course, was Maundy is Latin for commandment. And Jesus gave us a commandment on that night. You recall what it was? It was after he finished washing the feet of the disciples. And he looked upon them and he says, I do this so that you must love one another as I have loved you. That was the great commandment he gave us that night. And that is what we can do, even if we're not parents. We can just love one another. Love all peoples. Love all peoples. We may not like everybody, but everybody is a child of God. And for a long time, I had a hard time understanding that. Like, there's a lot of people I don't like because they're mean and nasty, like the dictators and the mean people that killed thousands and millions of people and all this from years past. I don't like them, but we have to respect them as children of God. Now, God, of course, will take care of them with his own accountability upon their death. We don't know that, but that's what he will take care of that. We don't have to worry about that. So, as we live our lives, one of the most important things is like I'm doing right now, is I'm sharing my witness with you. But we take time to share it with others. Whatever good things happen in our life, if Jesus ever did something good for you in your life, if you ever came to him and just let it all out and said, Jesus, I turn it over to you, will you help me? And then he helps you. Then we have an opportunity to turn around and help others by saying what it was that Jesus did in our lives. That's called witnessing. When we witness God's loves to our lives, when we witness God's love in our lives and we share it with one another, then the cool part is that other people will be excited about that answer that we found and discovered that truth, and that they too then can maybe become set free by discovering that truth as well. Maybe they never thought of that before. And I thought, well, that is really awesome. And I enjoy sharing what I learned about the love and the joy of Jesus and his blessings upon us. There's a saying that we learned in our reading today in Acts. I mean, in our reading today in John, how Jesus said, did you notice that when he first arrives to the upper room where they're at now, this is the next day after he's been resurrected, and he walks in and he says, very first thing he says to them is, peace be with you. And he says it about two or three more times, peace be with you. And that is something I want to zero in on. Peace is what surpasses all understanding. And I want to just share with you a little bit of my personal life. I stand here before you sharing a peace that surpasses all understanding, because in my years of my life, I received his undeserved love of God. And his undeserved love of God is his grace and his forgiveness in my life. And he's done it many times for me, but I want to share just the three most important times. 33 years ago, I was in the Navy. I'm a retired Navy guy. When I was in the Navy, the first 10 years of my Navy career, I was a wild and crazy party guy. I got into trouble all the time, and I was a big drinker. And alcohol consumed me, and finally I just passed out one day, and I woke up in the morning, and I just said, God, I give it all to you. I turn it over to you. I can't do this anymore. I'm going to kill myself. And ever since then, I have been, and 33 years ago, with the help of the blessing of the training of the Navy, and then later on AA, Alcoholics Anonymous programs, and just mentoring from people that love me, I was able to make it. And I am 33 years to this day, still sober, thank God for that. Saved my life, and otherwise I wouldn't be here right now. So that was a joy that, just saved my life. But then now 13 years ago, I was diagnosed with bladder cancer. And notice I said 13 years ago. Since then, I get checked every 6 months, and I have been blessed, thank God, with no more reoccurrence so far. And that's a beautiful joy for me, and I'm so thankful that I think he's got a mission for me. He wants me to still continue to tell you guys the word, so he keeps me patched up, as it were, and still keeps on going. But yet again, there's still one more thing. That was the bladder cancer of 13 years ago. I have the joy to tell you that I was just diagnosed with lung cancer 7 years ago, and to this day, I am blessed now. They took out one part of my right lung. They removed the top piece of the right lung because it comes in three layers. They took the top layer off, and that was the part that had a tumor in it. So they removed that, and ever since then, my tests have been good, where I'm still alive today, and it has not reoccurred. So I'm very blessed 7 years later with that. So tell me that I don't have a peace that surpasses all understanding with the love of God in my heart for his beautiful joy in my life for taking care of me like he has. And I pray, and I know that because of his favor for me and his love for me and his blessings of grace, that's going to be enough to keep me going, keep me living, keep me preaching, keep me wanting praising and glorifying his name each and every day. And I'll do it each and every day. Hallelujah. Praise God. So this is the peace that surpasses all understanding for me. I hope, I don't want you guys to have those kind of stories, but I hope that you guys find your own peace that surpasses understanding for whatever your situation might be. So I want to just ask you guys a question for a moment now. Where are you going to be in the next few hours, for example? And then when you decide that, how does it feel to consider that Christ has already walked ahead of you and is already present there? Will you see him? I say that, as you know, Mary was the first one to see Jesus as he rose from the tomb. And when she says, "Teacher," and he says, "Go, Mary, tell the others, and I will see them in Galilee." So he went on ahead of them in Galilee. And that's where I'm getting this question from. Where will you guys go in the next few hours? And know that wherever you go, that Jesus is already there ahead of you. The question is, will we be able to open our eyes? Will we be able to open our eyes and see him? How wonderful that will be when we see him, no matter what it is he's blessing us with. And I want to share a quote now from a fellow by the name of David Armstutz. I don't know who this guy is, but it's an awesome quote. And he says this, and I really enjoyed this quote. He says, "Out of the will of God," which is not obeying God, "out of the will of God, there is no such thing as success if we don't obey the will of God. But in the will of God, where we are obeying the will of God, there is no such thing as failure. I'm going, this is a mind thinker. You got to think this one out. But it's really cool, because when we're in the will of God, we have success. When we don't have the will of God, we have failure. Is everybody okay with that? I love that quote. It's very simple, but you have to think about it for a minute. It's not something you just read and quick go. You got to think about it a little bit. So in closing, folks, I just want to remind you that we're in the season of Eastertide. It's a 50-day window here. And today is traditionally known as Bright Sunday or Holy Humor Sunday. And that's why I'm wearing this bright tie. You can call it loud tie, whatever. And colorful, because I have the love of God in my heart. And I want to share it with everybody that comes in contact with me, because I just enjoy being alive. And then, of course, the fun fact about donkeys with the cross on their back. How cool is that? I thought that was such a great thing to talk about, and I wanted to share that with you. So, again, our greatest gifts in review from God was not only his creation, but his beautiful son, Jesus. And then when we learn from Jesus, his beautiful gift to us was when he died on the cross, sharing us his unconditional love for us. He died on the cross and gave up his life so that we to be forgiven of our sins. And thus we can have a new life, an eternal life with God in heaven. And then from us, what can we do? What can we do to give our greatest gift? If we're parents, we can give our children to Jesus. And I'm so grateful my mom and dad brought me to Jesus. It's the greatest gift they ever gave me. No toy, no car, no bike, no roller skate, nothing. It's compared to the greatest gift they ever gave me, which was coming to Jesus and having Jesus in my heart. So grateful for that. And if we're parents, we can bring Jesus to our children as well. And if we don't have any parents, if we don't have any children, then we at least should love everybody, as Jesus taught that night in the upper room with the disciples after washing their feet, to love one another as he has loved us. Great commandment. So I encourage you to get up here and speak at speakers like me to share your witness when it's appropriate. Don't have to be up here necessarily, even in the hallway talking with each other. Just share your love of God with them, each other, and pass on the joys. Even in Sunday school, even in your Bible study classes, and other places where we can be, gatherings. Share the joy and love of God in everybody in your heart, the people. Remember, I call that my aha moment, where I discover something new and wonderful in God, and he teaches me something. So I want to close now in this prayer. It's a prayer that actually John Wesley said. And John Wesley, of course, is the founder of Methodist Church. And he said this, let us pray. Teach us today to do no harm, to do good, and assist us so that we may stay in a loving relationship with you and our neighbor. Help us today to be an answer to another's prayer, so that we may be one of your signs of hope in the world you love. Amen. And I think at this time, I'm going to say the morning prayers for the church this morning. Let's take a moment as we pray. Most gracious and most loving Heavenly Father God, we thank you so much for your beautiful Son, Jesus, who is risen indeed and is alive once again in our hearts and in our minds. And when we are happy and we are joyful, we love to celebrate Jesus in the fun and exciting ways. And your blessing of creation provides us unlimited beauty and color for us to all enjoy. We take a moment now as we lift up Pastor Jakes and his mission team to Africa, and that their spirit will be filled, that their spirit-filled work will be blessed and do well for the others there. May they touch many of the people there with your grace, your mercy, and your love. We ask that you bless them and guide them, bring them back home safely to all of us. And we pray now for our world, the hungry, the sick, and the lost. Be with them that they know your love, God. We pray for our country in lifting up our leaders, our military, our first responders, our firemen and our policemen, for your continued protection and your safety from harm. We love you, God, and we thank you, God, from all of our hearts for your blessed Son, Jesus. You have blessed us in so many ways that we are forever grateful. We lift this prayer up in the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. And let us pray now the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, whom art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen.
So at this time, let us move into our offering moment. Let us go now in peace. May God's love and peace be with us each and every day. Share the good news, share the witness, and know that Jesus is alive. He's risen indeed. In his name we pray. Amen.